This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
And welcome back to Halloween month.
The scariest month of all.
Yeah.
Halloween month.
Halloween month, October.
Man, November came so close to being Halloween month.
Yeah, missed it by that much.
Yeah, just a day. If October only had 30 days, boom, November.
November 1st would be Halloween.
November, you're 100% spookier now.
Yeah, now you've got Halloween and Thanksgiving. Wow, two of the funnest holidays.
Man, Halloween, Thanksgiving is such a great 1-2 punch. Then yeah. Christmas. Man, October, November, December.
Q4, baby.
Yeah, wow. What a quarter.
Yeah, it sure is. Especially compared to like Q1?
Ugh.
Come on. January, February, March?
I don't see what you have against Dr. Martin Luther King or Black History Month.
Yeah, but those aren't like, you're not eating candy or a bunch of food for those months,
yeah,
for those
true.
Holidays.
We're getting presents, baby.
Yeah, we're getting presents.
You get presents still for Christmas?
Yeah, I get presents. Yeah, I get presents for Christmas.
My parents, they bestow lavish gifts on me every 36. Uh-huh. Every year, it's always like
every year, new model train.
I think it's still like they buy the same amount of gifts for me.
Oh no, my
than
gift...
they did like as they did when I was like 5.
Yeah, no, I get like a reasonable amount of gifts now.
Well, guess
what? A lot of what I get are like socks and undershirts.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were bad.
No, because like
your mom's like, I know Ethan.
No, because like that's what's useful, and like I've told everyone, like don't buy me clothes because like you buy me clothes that I'm not gonna wear.
I'm
a very stylish man. I have a particular style I need to uphold.
Blue plaid shirts.
So just socks and underwear, and you know those I go with the classics.
Yeah.
Hanes.
Ooh, white socks?
Hanes, yeah, white socks.
Tighty whities?
No, not tighty, well, boxer shorts. I mean, although, like, you know, we've had a plethora of underwear and sock sponsors throughout our days, and those are always a lot better. So those are, usually I just wear those like 3 or 4 times.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put a pin in this because I want to say one thing. Every single one of my socks...
Mm-hmm.
has gotten a hole in it in the last month. I don't know what's going on. Socks that I've had for like 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Socks that I've had for 5 days. I think my feet might be growing. I think I'm walking differently.
Wow.
But the thing I wanted to say is my mom this year suggested like, hey, how about, like, you know, I've always been saying like, stop getting me so many gifts. I'm not 5 years old. I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
And my mom suggested, hey, how about we like, you know, do very little presents this year. And it's like, great idea. But in my head, I was just like, God damn it.
In your head, you're like, times are tough in our house.
But Tom, look at this. I got a hole right here in this sock.
Oh, wow.
This is one of my heftiest socks.
I mean, yeah, those are decent. Those are hefty.
I have one pair of wool socks. It's too hot to wear
socks
right now. But like, it's the only thing that I'm not rubbing up against my shoe all day now.
Have you changed your shoes?
No. I don't know what's happened.
How aggressive are you at throwing out socks to get holes?
Not enough. Because, like, right now,
oh,
I'd
be
left sockless.
You'd be barefoot.
Yeah, I'm just going to wear flip-flops to work every day.
Wow. Then every day would be a vacation.
That's true.
And nobody at work would like you.
I do wear sunglasses indoors all day.
Okay, that's fine.
And I sometimes take off my shirt, or I just leave a button down open all the way.
I've been more aggressive at throwing out things to get holes in them lately because it's like, well, I'm not going to repair this. This hole's just going to get worse.
You're not going to get a darning kit?
No, I'm not going to darn anything. No, and I've had too many embarrassing situations where I've shown up at somebody's house and completely understandably, they're like, oh, we're like a no shoes house. And I'm like, oh, no problem. And I'm like, oh, I'm wearing my whole socks. Oh, yeah. No.
Happens to me all the time now.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, they're going to think I'm some kind of a hobo or tramp walking around here with holy socks.
They probably just think you're a guy who doesn't have your life fully together. And you know what?
Well, along those lines, one of the undershirts.
If the sock fits.
One of the undershirts I brought when we were in London last month. One of the undershirts that I brought, like, had like a, I clocked a small hole in the armpit, but somehow, I guess when it was washed, like the hole, it was like half the shirt wasn't there anymore.
Mm.
And by that point I was like, well, I packed this shirt. I got nothing else to wear.
I mean, you could have just bought an undershirt. It would have been like a dollar.
Yeah. No, it would have been more than a dollar.
A pound.
You know what? I didn't see any undershirt shops. I don't want, and I had to figure out like UK sizes and stuff.
Look, this is a little off topic, Tom, but I went and tried to buy something in the UK when I was there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I brought money that I had for like a year. You know, we got it from like merchandise at our shows last year. I tried to buy a beer at a bar.
Yeah.
And I gave them a $5 note, a £5 note.
Yeah.
And the guy laughed at me. And he was like, we don't take these. And apparently they only take the plastic ones now.
Oh, like, really? They happen that quickly?
And they're just like, oh, yeah. And, but like, it's like, I don't know, a year ago these were fine. Like, they were legal tender. Like, yeah. I get it. You could be like, he's like, you got to go to the bank, mate. You know, like real condescending.
Yeah.
So you got to go to the bank, mate, and get these switched out.
Well, you should have said, well, it's a bank holiday, mate.
Yeah,
they always have bank. There's so many bank holidays.
It's a bank holiday friggin' every week, then.
Yeah.
What are these bankers doing?
Going on holiday.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not a good holiday, like Halloween.
Right. I was going to say, too, like American currency, like I can show up somewhere with like Confederate dollars and they'll be like, eh, we'll take it.
Yeah, maybe.
Like you can, they take old money. Like,
yeah.
You'll sometimes...
Not Confederate money.
Not Confederate money, but sometimes you'll get, like...
You collect Confederate money and a lot of relics from the Confederacy, right?
It's not even funny to joke about. No, but, like, sometimes you'll get, like, a quarter or something, or, like, a dollar bill.
You also collect a lot of
like,
World War II memorabilia.
It'll be, like, from the 70s or something, and it's like, nah, they'll still take it.
Yeah, that's true.
You can use
a lot
$2
of the coins,
bills.
They'll be like, hell yeah, I'll take this. It's probably more valuable than even its face value.
Yeah. Like
give somebody a penny from 1926. They'll be like, please.
Yeah. Or like a Kennedy dollar or something. What was it? Kennedy coin? Kennedy quarters?
Kennedy they put dime?
Yeah, dimes. Something. They put Kennedy on something for like a little while.
John
then
Kennedy?
Like, yeah.
Hmm.
And then they're like, hey, he hasn't been dead long enough. Take him off.
Jack? I call him Jack.
Yeah.
Jack Kennedy?
Jack Kennedy, yeah. He was on some of these coins or something. Something like that.
Yeah,
who
probably.
Knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's Halloween month.
Halloween month on The Complete Guide to Everything, Tom. We have a spooky one loaded up.
Tim, we're tackling one of history's greatest monsters?
Absolutely a monster, Tom.
Yeah.
And it's a monster, and then there's also a doctor associated.
Well, so to be clear, we should say, it's Frankenstein. You've already seen it. It's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That for the sake of clarity, we'll be calling the doctor who created Frankenstein, Frankenstein, and we'll be calling the monster he created, Frankenstein.
Okay.
Just for the sake of clarity.
So what you did, you read the book...
Frankenstein
by...
Mary Shelley.
Mrs. Mary Shelley.
Yes.
I
that
watched,
is her married name.
I watched the movie Frankenstein from 1931 because I didn't want to read a book.
Yeah.
And Tom, you're like...
From 1931?
Yeah, that's when the movie came
out. Almost 100 damn years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, really, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 87 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, close.
Very close. It's very different, and you were just like, I'm going to read the book and
purist.
Give a book report. And I was like, I'll watch the movie, and that'll be a good counterpoint. And then you were like, you should watch the one that came out recently, I, Frankenstein?
No, I think maybe it was the one where, like, De Niro plays the monster.
Is that one?
Yeah, I think Coppola made it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Right, from the 90s.
I, Frankenstein, which I looked up with Aaron Eckhart, is like a sequel to Frankenstein, kind of.
Huh.
And it's actually, from what I read, like, I mean, it seems like it was a pretty bad book, but it was like a fairly, no, I guess it introduced like a bunch of like magic and stuff.
Yeah, you probably like that.
No, I don't like magic.
What do you like?
I like, to be clear,
pure
I like
science.
Magic, but I don't like magic.
You like magic. You like magicians.
I like magicians. Yeah. I don't like magic.
Who's your favorite magician? Lance Burton?
No, it's not Lance Burton. It's Valentino.
The Pendragons?
No, it's Valentino.
That son of a... He sold
that
out.
That turncoat.
He broke the code, Tom. He broke the magician's code week after week.
And that's what I like about him. He let me in.
Yeah. You know what? He made it accessible for everybody.
But yeah, I, Frankenstein actually seemed like it was fairly accurate to where it left, where it picked up from the story.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you named these movies that I should watch, and I was like, I'm going to watch the original 1931 Frankenstein, because guess what?
What?
It's 70 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the ideal length of a movie. Actually, it's a little bloated in parts, to be honest.
That's back when, like, making a movie any longer was a fire hazard because of the silver nitrate
in the
film.
Yeah, you couldn't have that much
film. It's like, that's too much film. Were you trying to set the whole damn town on fire?
Yeah, and then, you know, the townspeople were trying to set the whole damn town on fire, but we'll get to that.
In the movie, yeah.
That didn't happen in the book. Tom, I feel like the book is way different from the movie that we all know and love.
The book's way different. I think so. I haven't seen the 30s movie. Should we start with the book? Should I tell you about the book? And
yeah.
How the book worked?
Sure.
So the book starts with this guy. Oh, what's his name?
He's Victor Frankenstein.
No. I think his name's Captain Walton, but I call him Captain No Friends.
Because he didn't have any friends.
He didn't have any friends.
Guess what? I bet he'd be like, my books are my friends.
No, I don't think he even read. No,
yes,
he read. He was a pretty smart guy.
Sea captains don't read. They only read the charts.
No, but listen, this guy was an explorer. He was trying to get to the North Pole to explore. He's one of those kinds of captains.
Okay.
He wasn't like a pirate or whatever you think, or a war captain.
I just thought he was a guy on the high seas doing whatever. Maybe a deadliest catch type of situation. Is this a deadliest catch situation?
No, they weren't even fishing or nothing.
Hmm.
They were just like, let's go. It's like the 1700s. Nobody knows what the hell's out anywhere. Why don't we, hey, might as well be us. Let's go explore the North Pole.
All right. So Captain No Friends is somehow well-read.
Yeah. Well,
he's trying to get to the North
and
Pole.
And the reason why I call him
to kill Santa Claus?
No. The reason why I call him Captain No Friends is this guy, like, the whole beginning of the book, he's just like, I have no friends. Like, nobody understands me. He's very emo for being a sea captain.
Well, I mean, sea captain's a pretty good job for an emo fella.
Yeah, but he's got, like, a whole crew. It's like, be friends with your crew, man.
No, you can't be friends with them. You're their leader. You had to be an authority
figure.
Yeah,
but Egan...
No dancing on the deck. Good dancing.
So anyway, they're trying to explore the North Pole. And then they see, like, a guy, I think the first guy, he's got, like, dogs and stuff on a sled, but he's, like, gigantic.
On a ship?
No, out on the, they get stuck in the ice.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
Well, they're going to the North Pole, and he sees a guy on a sled.
Nowadays, there'd just be smooth sailing, right?
It's true. Global warming.
Mm.
Climate change.
2040 seems to be
the new drop-dead date.
Yeah.
Well, this takes place in the 1700s, so they don't have to worry. Not a
twinkle in their eye.
Everything's still real cold then.
Cool. Must be nice.
So he sees this giant guy on like a dog sled. He's like, whoa, look at the size of that fella. And then like a few hours later, they find another fella, but he's like on an iceberg and almost dead. And they're like, let's get that guy. And that guy's Victor Frankenstein.
The doctor.
Dr. Victor Frankenstein.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
In the movie, they rename Victor Frankenstein and they name him Henry Frankenstein.
Hank Frankenstein. Nice
Hank
to meet
Frank.
You.
Hank Frank. Yeah.
Hank Frank.
Hey, it's me, Hank Frank. It's because they thought audiences would not sympathize with a man named Victor.
They're not entirely off base.
I don't know. I've known a couple of Victors. They've seemed nice.
This guy... That reminded me of an interesting fact that I read about why his name was Victor.
Because he won.
It was something like that. Like, Mary Shelley took a lot of stuff from Paradise Lost, apparently, for this book. But...
Did you ever read Paradise Lost?
No.
Why not?
Too long.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's long. It just...
It's an epic poem.
Yeah.
So it's got to be long.
Yeah, but a long poem can just be like five pages and be like, yeah, that's pretty long for a poem.
Yeah, it's very confusing. But anyway, so he's like, hey, get that guy up from the iceberg. He's going to die. So they get him up, and it's Victor Frankenstein. He's like, oh, woe is me. And this guy immediately is like, oh, good, another sad guy. This guy's my best new friend.
Yeah, we can play cards together.
The two of them
play solitaire in the same room.
The two of them really hit it off. And then Victor Frankenstein's like, I'll tell you my tale of woe. And then so Vic tells him about how...
Oh, this whole story's a flashback?
Yeah, it's an envelope story.
An envelope story.
So it like... It begins and ends on the ship with like, you know, Victor being like, here's my sad tale.
Like the Princess Bride.
Exactly.
Okay. Classic envelope situation.
So Victor's like, when I was a young boy, my aunt died. And then her husband was like, well, I don't want to raise a baby. I want to go get married to some other lady who's not going to die. So they send...
Or who hasn't died yet. Because, look, fellas, any lady you meet, she's eventually going
to
die.
Yeah, don't listen to those women out there that tell you they're immortal.
Yeah, they're looking for something, they're nothing but trouble.
Yeah, they're as mortal as the next lady. Hmm. So he dumps his kid, his uncle, with Victor's family. But Victor's family's like, great. We have a five-year-old boy, and this infant cousin will raise as a sister, and then when they're old enough, they can marry each other.
Hmm. Was this in the days of dowries? Because they're messing out on a dowry. If you're marrying your child to an adopted child,
yeah,
you got to pay yourself goats and stuff?
No, I think that's probably why they were doing it. They were like, well, we'll adopt the kid, but we're not going to pay some other suckers a dowry.
Oh, yeah, that's
we'll
true.
Just have we'll just have her marry our son.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine because they're not actually brother and sister. They're just first cousins.
Yeah. It's the 1700s. Nobody.
It's the 1700s. It's fine. So they like grew up together as brother and sister, and they really get along. They really,
what's her name?
Elizabeth.
Hmm,
is okay. She in the movie?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't think she's his cousin.
His cousin who is...
Are they rich? Is the dad's name Baron?
He's not named Baron, I don't think, but he is a Baron. Basically, this whole...
maybe I misunderstood.
This whole freaking book is about a spoiled little rich brat.
That's what I... This is exactly my note, Tom. I took notes for this movie.
Yeah.
Is Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, just an entitled rich kid who's bored as hell?
Yeah,
100%. Because all he does is just like, yeah, what else am I going to do?
100%. Like, when he's a kid, he reads all these, like, old books about, like, doctoring and stuff. And it's all, you know, hocus-pocus nonsense. And then when he gets to college, they're like, oh, that was all hocus-pocus nonsense. Why were you reading those old books? Now, you know, it's the 1700s. We have modern technology like leeches and stuff. You got to get with the new times. So he goes to college and he learns all the new stuff. And he's like, great, I'm going to marry my sister. Everything's going like gangbusters for me. I got a good friend. But it's not enough for me. I'm going to try and mix the old ways with the new ways. and make a man, make a person.
Just out of boredom.
Just out of boredom.
Because like he doesn't have to earn a paycheck. Well, might as well go off on a creative endeavor against God. Hey, maybe I'll try to become God himself.
Yeah.
Because I deserve it.
There's no real, like, he's not doing this, like, to try and get a job somewhere or anything. He's just bored. And he's like, I'm going to try and create life. But it's a little...
Tom, did he study under Dr. Waldman? There's this doctor. All the men in this movie look exactly the same. Except for...
They all look like Frankenstein?
No, Frankenstein's the one outlier. I could follow it when Frankenstein was on the screen.
And to be
Everybody
clear,
else
when we
just...
say Frankenstein, we mean Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, of course. That's what we've established. Right. Everybody else just looks like a black and white man from the 1930s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was maybe that was his name. There was like a professor was like very encouraging of him, but I don't think he really knew like this guy's gonna go try and make a man. They're very sketchy in the book about how he makes a man.
Right.
Like they and actually I think it's good that they kind of leave the details out. There's no like lightning and stuff. He says he cobbles together pieces from like the morgue and the slaughterhouse or something.
The slaughterhouse?
Yeah.
Does,
so
is
it's
it
implied
part animal?
It's implied that he's part animal. Mm. But also that because like making a person's a little difficult, he had to like he couldn't get like the vein it like, you know, veins and stuff like that. It's too much work. So he made the man like a little bit bigger. So that's why Frankenstein's like 8 feet tall. Just so like he could get his hands in there easier.
But you still need parts.
Yeah.
But what did he bolster it with, like foam rubber?
It's not real clear. He has watery white eyes.
Okay. So do I, frankly.
Frankensteinly. And he's got yellow skin barely pulled over the muscles in his body.
Jaundiced.
Yeah, but like it's not real clear. Like, are some of those like, you know, like cow muscles and stuff?
Yeah.
And, like, what's the yellow skin? Is that just, like, a tarp he found or something?
It might just be, you know, skin.
Again, it's not real clear.
It might be, like, you know, the rotting flesh, right?
But it's not rotting. It's fine. It's just yellow.
I mean, when he found it, it was off a dead person.
It's not real clear what the skin's made out of. It might be parchment paper.
Paper mache, maybe.
It could be. It could
That'd
be
a lot less scary if...
well, he wouldn't be able to move as easily once he dried.
He'd be like in a cast.
Yeah.
Be like a guy in traction.
So Victor starts fucking around, making a monster.
Okay.
With no real... And then the monster comes to life, and he freaks out and like runs away immediately.
But that was the whole point.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Sometimes you do something and you think it's gonna be. It's like the time I tried to make one big Swedish fish out of a bunch of little Swedish fish by melting it on the stove. Ultimately, not successful. But if it had been successful, what was I gonna do with that?
Right. So in a lot of ways, you're like Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's a good experiment.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little... person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
All right, so Victor Frankenstein, he like runs away. The monster
comes to life, and he gets spooked.
He gets
Frankenstein comes to life. Frankenstein bolts.
Yeah, and then
not bolts in his neck.
Right,
those were electrodes, and that was only in the movie.
Right, in the book, it's unclear what gives him life. It's a secret method.
Mary Shelley didn't want it getting out, and then everybody started bringing
right.
men to life.
Men or
abominations is what I ask.
Yeah. So then I think Victor comes back for... Yeah, Victor comes back and he's like, get out of here. You're a monster.
He comes back.
Yeah.
He leaves. He comes back.
And now the monster is like alive and walking
happening?
Around.
Germany?
Yeah, Germany.
Okay.
And he's like, get out of here. And then Victor runs away again because he's kind of scared too still.
Is he like secluded in like an old watchtower or something?
No, he's like in a town.
He's just right in the thick of it. Like somebody's like, quiet down in there, Victor.
Yeah. So then Victor runs into...
Sounds like he's raising the dead over there.
Well, so then he runs into his friend Henry. And his friend Henry is like, hey...
Henry in the movie, Dr. Henry Frankenstein.
There you go.
His best friend was named Victor.
Is that true?
Very confusing.
And Henry's like, hey, man, like, I want to see your place. And Victor's like, my place. Yeah, of course, sure. And in his mind, he's like, oh, God, I got a fucking abomination.
Oh,
this
sounds like a classic sitcom situation.
Right. Well, it gets even better because, you know, they get right up to the door and he's like, and it opens up. And the monster's gone. You know, he's all nervous, and then the monster's not even there. And then Henry's
behind the drapes and, behind the shower
curtain. Yeah, and Henry's doing the sitcom thing of like, hey, you seem real nervous. What, were you expecting somebody in here? He's like, oh, no. Yeah, and he's checking behind the shower curtain and everything. Right. This is the first time Victor is so upset about this that the monster he told to go away went away and ran away. This is the first of many nervous breakdowns he has. This one lasts for 4 months, during which Henry is his nurse.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, like, basically a guy...
Look, it was the 1700s. People had nervous breakdowns all the time, and whoever was with you, you were then in their care.
It would be like if you called me up and you were like, hey, you want to get a beer? And I was like, yeah, sure. I came and met up with you and got a beer, and then you're like, hey, I want to borrow that book you have. Can I go back to your house and get it? I was like, oh, sure. And then once I got here, I had a nervous breakdown and made you take care of me for 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening.
What happens? Then I think he gets better and he's like, whew, really dodged a bullet there. Let me go home. He was away at college at this point. I forget where.
Is he a boy? Were these people boys?
No, he's like college age. He's like early 20s, I
Where's
imagine.
Elizabeth in all of this?
Elizabeth's back home pining, waiting for him.
Okay.
And he's, you know, sending letters or whatever. Yeah. So he goes
that
back.
That happens in the movie, too.
I think this is in Sweden, and then he goes back home to Germany.
So he made the monster in Sweden.
I think so.
Hmm.
He goes, or Switzerland, maybe. One of those two.
They're very different countries, Tom.
It was Switzerland.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
He goes back to Germany, and he's like,
You know who else couldn't tell the difference between Sweden and Switzerland?
Who?
President George W. Bush.
Huh.
Yeah. Just wanted to put that out there. He always got him confused because he's not a smart man, Tom.
Not a smart man. That's my GW impression. Yeah.
Anyway,
he goes back home and he's like, everybody, I'm home for a visit. Everything's fine. I ain't create an abomination. And then all of a sudden.
Do they believe him?
Yeah. But then all of a sudden they're like, the worst thing has happened. Your sickly brother, who was sickly growing up, but now he's fine. But no, he's not fine because they just found him. He's been killed.
Oh, no.
And right away, Victor's like, oh, I bet it was the fucking monster I made.
That came all the way from Switzerland?
Yeah. He's like, I don't know how, but I bet it's a damn monster.
Yeah.
They're like, don't worry, Victor. Even though your brother's been killed, they found the perpetrator. It was your sister, not Elizabeth, a different sister. I think her name is Margaret.
Did they disclose any of this at this point? Like before this point?
Wait a minute. Oh yeah, they had these other siblings. Yeah, I skipped it.
I feel like books in the 1700s, like in the 1700s, were like the first three chapters were just family trees, just like going through like.
Yeah. A lot of this was, which was why I glossed
over
it.
The Bible, people begetting people for freaking pages and pages. Enough with the begetting.
So they go and visit Margaret in jail, and she's like, I didn't do this. And Elizabeth's like, I think you might have. And then she's like, no, I didn't. Elizabeth's like, all right, I can see. I believe you now.
Thanks for going through that whole thing.
And Victor's like, I think you're innocent too. And he's like, I think it was my monster that did this. But he doesn't tell anybody that.
Right. Keeps it pent up.
Keeps it pent up.
Honestly, I would think that's just paranoia.
What?
Right? Like you happen to create this monster and then you go hundreds of miles away.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, anything bad that happened must have been this monster. Like,
right.
Come on, man. Take a nap.
Well, so they execute Margaret.
Ooh.
for killing.
What was the evidence?
No evidence.
Okay.
Oh, because she had the locket that William wore in her pocket when they picked her up. Which we find out later, the monster slipped in her pocket.
Wow. He slips a locket in her pocket.
This monster, by the way, the way he's described, he's like a next level Batman with like how he's able to like lurk around unseen and slip things in people's pockets and watch people. But even though he's 8 feet tall and yellow, nobody sees him.
Maybe he can blend in with the sun.
What sun? His sun?
The sun.
Oh,
the yellow sun.
Oh, the yellow
Earth,
sun.
Earth's yellow sun.
So maybe
he always traveled near a school bus.
They didn't have those back then. I forget what I, like, so I think he, yeah, like Victor knows it's him, but he doesn't tell anyone. He just lets his sister be executed. Rather than being like,
I mean,
like,
if he's like, no, I created a monster, they'd be like, no, you didn't.
Well, or he could be like, I did it.
Then he would be executed.
Yeah, but that'd be better than
his
sister.
Then who's going to stop the monster?
True. So,
look, his sister, Margaret,
mm-hmm.
collateral damage, buys him time to find this monster.
Well, so then I forget if he goes back to Switzerland or he stays where he is, but the monster comes to him. Like the monster comes in, he's like, oh, you goddamn monster. You killed my brother.
And indirectly caused the death
right.
of my sister.
And caused the death of my sister. And then the monster is like, yeah, well, you're no.
Does the monster talk?
Yeah, the monster is very articulate.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And the monster is like, you suck. You're an asshole. I'm going to let me tell you what I've been through. You find out after the monster ran away. He went and found like a house and he just like hid in like an old part of the house or something. And he just watched this family and he learned English from them.
How long did this happen for?
Maybe like 6 months.
Okay.
He stole Victor's diary when he ran away too.
Mm. People should stop keeping diaries.
Well, and that's how we knew where Victor was
from. Exactly. There's too much information in a diary.
Yeah. Frankenstein just like hangs out in the woods watching this family. He learns English. He learns like a bunch of stuff. And he's like, oh, man, like I wish I could be, you know, a person. And then one day the family goes away and the dad's blind, conveniently. So Frankenstein sees his chance and he goes to the guy and he's like, hello, I'm just a regular man. And he's talking with him.
Taking advantage of the blind. Yep. He is.
And he's talking with the guy for a while and they're like really hitting it off. And then all of a sudden the family comes home and they lose their minds because, you know, they come inside and they're like, oh, who's...
We're sighted people.
Yeah, like, yeah. Hey, dad, who's your new friend? Oh, my God. It's a monster. So Frankenstein runs away, and now he's like super pissed because he's learned how to talk. He's learned how to read. He's very smart now. He just wants to be included with the gang. And he's like, why'd this asshole make me if this is, you know, my fate? I'm going to go, let me check in his diary where he lives. I'm going to go kill his brother.
Did he think it was him?
Who? No, it was some...
Frankenstein. And I mean the monster.
Yeah.
I can't imagine his eyesight's all that great.
No, it was something like the brother's like, unhand me. My brother is Dr. Frankenstein. You have no idea who you're messing with. Or I think he tells him his dad's Alphonse Frankenstein. Mm. And he's like,
he's a baron.
Yeah, he's like,
sakes.
My dad's a big deal. And he's like, Frankenstein, that's my name, but also the name of the man who made me. And he just...
Frankenstein? Why did you say that name?
And he just chokes the life out of him because he's so mad.
Yeah.
And then he goes and tells...
This is why I'm glad I'm not a hulking strong man. I'd get so mad and I'd just choke the life out of people.
So he goes back to, you know, and then we come back. There's an envelope within an envelope, and we come back to him, and he's like, and that's what happened to me, Dr. Frankenstein, and now I'm real pissed at you for making me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my demand. You got to, and this is where I would say, where I would argue, Frankenstein is the world's most famous incel. So Frankenstein's like, look, no women want me. You got to make me a woman. Make me a bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Like, that's what I want. And
make her have crazy hair.
He specifically was like, and you better make her real ugly like me. So
did he say that?
Yeah. Like,
no other man wants her.
So she has to be with me. And if you don't do that, boy, howdy, I'm gonna rip you limb from limb, Dr. Frankenstein. I'm going to do that to all the people you love. Frankenstein's like, Dr. Frankenstein's like, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, well, if you don't, I'll be with you on your wedding night.
That's a threat.
It was a direct threat. So how does Dr. Frankenstein respond to this threat? He runs away.
Come on, man.
he's like, I could do that. I could make a bride of Frankenstein, or I could just get out of here. I could just sail to England.
Skedaddle. He went to England?
Yeah. So he goes to England, and in his head he thinks, well, maybe the monster will leave her. An accident will kill him. Before he like...
Wait, really? He thinks an accident will kill him? I mean, I'm sure he's pretty clumsy.
No, this Frankenstein, he's like running up mountains and stuff.
Jeez. He's created a monster.
He really has. So then Dr. Frankenstein's buddy's like, oh, you're going on a trip? I'll come with you. I'll tag along.
This is Henry?
A different guy. This is Percival or something? Sursival. Something like that. Another guy.
Did you read the book, Tom?
I read the book, but all these names got real confusing, especially the two Frankensteins.
Yeah, that's to reread a lot of paragraphs, I bet.
So he's like, yeah, I'll come with you. And they go to Edinburgh, which actually I thought was interesting because the two of them were basically like, Edinburgh's too new and fancy. We don't really like it.
When we went there, Tom, it was old.
Yeah, it was super old.
And dirty.
But they're like,
it wasn't fancy at all.
Yeah, but they're like, you know, it's charming. They have this like cool new castle up there, but too much. But
I thought that castle was nice.
I did too, but Dr. Frankenstein didn't. And Dr. Frankenstein's like,
stuck up little rich kid.
He's like, I got a blow off my friend here because, like, I got to figure out what I'm going to do. Am I going to make a Bride of Frankenstein or not? So he tells his friend, like, I got to get out of here. He goes to, like, a little hovel, and he's like, all right, I'll start making another Frankenstein.
For the one to have sex with?
Yes. And then, like, as he's making the Frankenstein, he's like, there's somebody in the window. It's Frankenstein. He's looking through the window like, what you got cooking in there? And he gets so mad. I don't know why. I guess he just got mad
he's
that he got followed
he
again.
Oh, wait, who?
Dr. Frankenstein okay. now. So Dr.
Frankenstein's pissed that Frankenstein followed him.
Yeah, and Dr. Frankenstein's like,
dude, I'm doing it. Just leave me alone for a minute.
So he gets so mad, he just rips the woman apart that he's making. And Frankenstein comes in. He's like, ooh, boy, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, now I'm real mad. Dr. Frankenstein is like, all right. And then Frankenstein runs off. Dr. Frankenstein's like, all right, I got to get rid of this body. If somebody comes in here and they see this torn apart woman in here, they're not going to know I was trying to make a person. They're going to think I killed somebody.
Yeah.
He's like, he's in Scotland. He's like, I'll go take a raft out and dump the body in the ocean.
Did Frankenstein, and of course, I mean the monster, did Frankenstein
swim?
The doctor?
What?
Put a wiener on him?
Unclear.
Okay.
So it might have been like a pig's wiener or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Like a curly Q kind of thing.
That's not what a pig's wiener is like. Tim, once again, you're mistaking a pig's tail for its wiener. Dr. Frankenstein, he goes out on a raft to like get rid of the lady Frankenstein he made. All of a sudden, this numbskull, he looks up and he's like, oh, damn it. Which the hell way is back to shore?
Oh, brother. This guy stinks.
He stinks. He's a moron. He loses track of Frankenstein right away. And then, like, Frankenstein gives him, like, very clear ultimatums. And he's like, all right, I'll listen. And he's like, no, you're watching. I'm going to rip it apart. Anyway, Dr. Frankenstein, like, you know, he's out to sea. And then all of a sudden he washes up, but he's in Ireland. And the people are like, oh, man. Boy, we're mad at you. And they're like, and he's like, why? And they're like, you killed this guy. You're the only new guy in town. You must have killed this guy. We're going to take you to court. And back then, like, they didn't really have evidence for anything. So
they killed that lady Margaret for no reason because she had a locket in her pocket.
I guess one of the things they would do if you were suspected for murder is that they would take you to the body. And then take the cover off and be like, now let's watch and see if he's like, ha, that's,
Like you rub your hands together?
I guess.
Yeah.
But they take it off and it's his friend, Cercival or whatever.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
that's Cercival.
Yeah. And Tim, you wouldn't guess how Victor Frankenstein responds to this, but he has a nervous breakdown again. He has another nervous breakdown for 2 months in the jail. Where, like, they take care of him and stuff just so they can hang him. They want him to be, like, within his right mind before they hang this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's finally, like, better. And he's like, good news, I'm better. And they're like, cool, we'll hang you probably later today then. But then they're like, there's a visitor for you. And he's like, oh, no, it's Frankenstein. Which, it's not Frankenstein. Of course it's not Frankenstein. Nobody else has seen Frankenstein. It turns out it's his dad to bail him out of jail again.
Baron Alphonse Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Frankenstein?
So he bails him out of jail.
Tom, did you read the book?
No, I'm trying to remember, like, the order of things. Like, because I think somebody...
They say he had affluenza and that's why he did this?
No, I think
he didn't know any better. He's a scamp.
He gets Frankenstein out of jail. Dr. Frankenstein out of jail. They go back to Germany, I think. And he's like, all right, you know what? Frankenstein said he would be with me on his wedding night. I'm going to pull a fast one. I'm going to get married to Elizabeth right away.
And then... because of that, through that loophole, he'll never be able to come after us again as soon as the wedding night is over.
Yeah. So now Dr. Frankenstein, he's like with his wife right before they get married. And he's like, I just got to go take a look outside real quick because I have a bad feel. I'm not going to tell you what's going on. And by this point, Elizabeth's like, oh, you're having an affair, aren't you? Like, you're being so cagey.
He
you're
should
like
come clean
traveling
about this.
Around the world. He doesn't come clean to anybody about Frankenstein.
The monster.
The monster. So he's like, oh, I just got to go outside real quick. You know, and in his mind, he's like, I know that fucking Frankenstein's outside. But he's like, just, you know, make sure everything's all right. He goes outside, and then, like, pretty much as soon as he gets outside, he hears a scream, and it's Elizabeth, and he looks in through the window, and Elizabeth's dead on the bed, and Frankenstein's...
The monster.
Frankenstein the monster is standing over her, pointing at her. Just, like, showing Dr. Frankenstein, like, yeah, that was me, I did that. By the time he comes running back inside, the Frankenstein's monster is gone again.
Man, this guy is bad at keeping track of this monster.
This
he created.
This guy's so bad, that he...
This monster's out of control at this point.
He slips in and out, like the
and
wind.
And what is this friggin' guy so mad about? He's just mad that there's not a lady Frankenstein?
Yeah, and he's already talked to him again about, like, listen, pal, we had a deal. Make me a lady Frankenstein, because nobody else wants me. Alphonse Frankenstein so upset he just
the Baron.
Yeah, he just dies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in this book that like just die because they're very upset.
It was the 1700s.
Yeah.
People died of upset all the time.
Now Dr. Frankenstein's like, you know, fuck this guy. So many people have died. I'm going to go kill him. And Frankenstein, the monster, like leaves him a note. He's like, come and get me. By the way, now I have guns. I have guns and daggers.
Really?
Yeah.
They had guns back then?
Apparently.
Wow.
And now the rest of the book is just Dr. Frankenstein chasing Frankenstein throughout Europe.
That's pretty cool.
And he's always like a day behind him. And then, finally he almost catches him. And that's when the ship picks him up. But he's very upset. And he tells the ship captain the whole thing. And then, because he's so upset, he just dies. And then
Frankenstein?
Yeah, Dr. Frankenstein just dies from being upset. Oh, but not before. So they're, like, trapped in ice. And all the men are like, we should go back south. Like, this is crazy. We're all going to die. A bunch of them had already died.
Yeah.
Doctor,
so they were probably pretty upset, and then they died.
Yeah, and Dr. Frankenstein comes upstairs from below deck where he's, you know, having a nervous breakdown like always, and he calls all the men cowards for wanting to go back, and they're all like, all right, I guess you're right. And then he goes back downstairs and dies himself anyway from just, like, being tired. And then when the ship captain comes downstairs, who's standing over his body but Frankenstein the monster?
Whoa.
Who slipped into the boat now.
Wow, this guy is wily.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, I know you. You're Frankenstein the monster. And he's like, this guy is sucked. This guy's
this
a
is
real...
not like the Frankenstein of cinema at all.
Yeah, and Frankenstein the monster is like, this guy sucks. He's a real piece of shit. He made me, but he made me too ugly. Involuntarily celibate. I hate it. And, you know, but you know what? At the end of the day, I killed everybody this guy cared about, and now he's dead. And actually, at the end of the day, I'm still pretty upset about this. I'm just going to go kill myself.
What does he do? Just go into the
like,
icy waters?
Yeah, he just, like, wanders off.
All right.
And the end.
Question mark?
Yeah. Nobody ever explains who gave Frankenstein a jacket, though.
Did he have a jacket?
He had a jacket in the movie.
Yeah, they don't really nice say blazer.
They don't really say what he... And, like, that would have to be a custom fit. You can't get that off the rack, the size he is.
It was all tattered, Tom. He didn't fit in it. He was busting out of it.
Okay.
Have you never seen this movie? I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. The movie was only 70 minutes long.
Okay.
First, you see a curtain and a man comes out.
Frankenstein.
No. Just this other man. I think he plays another role in the movie later on, but I can't tell because all the men look the same.
Okay.
And he came out and he was just like, this movie is very scary. This is the story of Frankenstein. I wanted to start the episode with his speech, but you were like, nobody will understand that reference.
I was like, nobody's getting a reference to a movie from the 30s.
It's Frankenstein. It's not like.
Yeah, it's Frankenstein, but we're doing an episode about Frankenstein. Neither of us knew the movie starts with a warning.
Yeah, and then he's like, if you can't handle this, Well, we warned you.
Yeah. And this was back in the days where getting so scared could kill you, too.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of these people probably just had infections, right?
Yeah. Like that people, were just going in
people
untreated.
People who died of, like, nervous disorder and stuff.
It's like, no, you had, like...
Oh, we gave him the tonic. We gave him a heaping spoonful of nervous tonic, but yet he died anyway.
It starts and everything takes forever in this movie, which is why this synopsis is going to go really, because like four things happen, but like every scene is like 25 minutes long.
Okay.
There's a funeral for somebody. Mm-hmm. And then you see, Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, of course.
Henry Frankenstein
and Igor, but get this. Yeah. His name's not Igor. He's a guy named Fritz.
Okay.
And he's a hunchback assistant.
Yeah, and there's no assistant in the book.
He wasn't in the book at all?
There's no Igor. There's no Fritz. It's like nobody even knows about the monster except for Frankenstein and the people the monster kills.
Fritz helps him out a lot. Fritz is kind of a simple man.
Okay.
I really think Frankenstein, the doctor, is taking advantage of him.
Yeah,
making
probably.
Him work on this project.
Well, Frankenstein, the doctor, is a real shithead.
Yeah. They're always peering over things.
Okay.
So like they're watching the first words. You know, there's a funeral, and then you see Fritz. Let's just call him Igor, right?
Yeah, sure.
And Frankenstein, the doctor. They peer over the gate. They're always peering over things, and then Igor makes like a noise, and Frankenstein goes, "Quiet, you fool!"
Well, that's just making it worse.
Yeah, exactly. And then everybody leaves, and then they go, and they this guy, the grave digger,
mm-hmm.
he buries his body for like 15 minutes. It's just this guy, and
just
then
one long take.
Yeah, and then he lights a corn cob pipe for like a minute and a half and smokes the corn pipe and then just walks off.
Well, that used to pass for entertainment, just going to the cinema and watching a man smoke a pipe.
Yeah, it was crazy.
On the big screen.
And then Igor, Fritz, and the Frankenstein, the doctor, mm-hmm. they dig up the body for another like 15 minutes, and then it fades out. And then his fiance mm-hmm. gets a letter from Frankenstein, the Dr. Frankenstein. And it's like, hey, I'm in this like old castle or this abandoned watchtower or something.
Yeah.
I'm working on my experiments. Don't come here. And then this guy, Victor, who's not Victor Frankenstein, his friend Victor, comes in and starts trying to make time with his fiance.
Oh, man.
He's like, you should be with me instead, even though they're, you know, they're presumably or purportedly friends.
Who is handsomer, though?
They looked exactly the same.
Okay.
And then they go and they're like, well, let's go to the thing. And they find this. In the meantime, Igor goes to this... this doctor is teaching medical students about brains.
Okay.
And he's like, here is a perfect normal brain, and here is an abnormal brain.
Mm-hmm.
They're in these jars on my
desk.
So
these are what, fourth-year medical school students?
Yeah. And he's like, they're on my desk. Come and look at them anytime. Class dismissed. And everybody leaves. And the whole time, who's peering over the thing, over the wall, but Igor,
peering.
Fritz, and everybody leaves. Nobody looks at the brains like the doctor, like the teacher told them to.
They got other classes to go to.
And he picks up the brain in a jar called Normal Brain. Right? It's got this big sticker on it that says Normal Brain. He picks it up, and then he turns around, and there's a skeleton there because it's like an anatomy class. And he gets spooked, and he drops it. It's pretty funny, actually. And so he just takes the brain in the jar called abnormal brain. They bring that back, and then his fiance and the Victor and the doctor, the guy that was teaching the class, mm-hmm. they all go to the watchtower or wherever, and they're like,
"How did the guy teaching a class get involved?"
He was Dr. Frankenstein's teacher back in the day, you see.
Yeah, but he wasn't mad at Igor for stealing a brain?
He didn't know. Here's what happened. Dr. Frankenstein's fiance, Elizabeth,
uh-huh.
and his friend, quote-unquote, Victor, They go to this doctor and they're like, your student's gone mad. You have to come tell him not to do whatever experiment he's doing. They show up there. He's like, fuck you guys. Stop showing up here. I'm doing my experiments. Fine.
I'm not harming anybody.
Yeah, actually, come in. And they invite him in. He invites them in and he's like, sit down. Actually, the doctor goes to take a look because the body, the monster who's not alive yet, it's under the sheet on a table. And the doctor tries to look at it, and Igor goes, don't touch that! And then he starts fighting the guy. There's a lot of scuffling and stuff. All
right.
And then he makes them all sit down, and then it rises. The body rises to the top on a pulley system.
Yeah.
It gets struck by lightning. And then Dr. Frankenstein says, it's alive. You remember that from
it's
the
alive.
Yeah. You say nobody knows this movie. Everybody says
it's
alive.
People know that. They don't know the warning at the beginning.
And he says, "Now I know what it feels like to be God."
Oh wow!
He says
really
that.
Put a fine point on it.
Yeah, they had to cut that out for like 50 years. Like it was only restored in like 1988. Like American society was ready for that line. There's this guy named Burgomaster. Is he in the book?
The Burgomaster?
No, I thought it was Burgomaster. I was like, this movie's about to get good. The Burgomaster is like the mayor or something. And he comes by Frankenstein's dad is this rich guy, Baron. And the Burgomaster.
The book, nobody even knows what the hell Frankenstein's up to.
Oh, yeah. The Burgomaster comes to Frankenstein's dad and he's like, hey, when's your son getting married? We're all excited about it. And like, we want to have a party. The townspeople do. And Frankenstein's dad is just like, treats him like an asshole. And I can't figure out why. He's like, he's like talking about him in as if he's not there to the servants. Like, oh, this Burgomaster is a real idiot. I don't understand. The guy's
a big
fat jerk.
Maybe there's another cut scene.
Yeah. And so anyway, Igor Fritz, I guess, comes by Frankenstein, the monster, with a torch. Mm-hmm. The monster starts going crazy, and they're like, oh, no.
Yeah, he hates fire.
And so they chain him up.
Mm.
Dr. Frankenstein, and now the doctor who taught him is his friend now, I guess.
Yeah.
They chain him up. And then Igor goes to where he's chained up and taunts him with the fire because he's kind of a simple guy. And Frankenstein, the monster, breaks loose and murders him, hangs him.
Oh, wow.
And they find him later, and they're like, oh, no. And then Frankenstein, I think, gets loose or something. Well, long story short, no. Dr. Frankenstein's like, I'm going to get out of here. And he says to his doctor friend, hey, you kill him. So the doctor's like, all right, I'm going to kill him.
Fine,
guess
I
what?
Guess.
Just as the doctor's trying to kill him, Frankenstein kills the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, this Frankenstein's very strong.
And he leaves, and he's just roaming the countryside. And then Dr. Frankenstein's like, all right, let's get married now.
Well, our problems are solved.
Yeah, because he doesn't know that his doctor friend got killed. He thinks the monster's dead.
Why?
And that the doctor's going to...
Based on what evidence?
Because he was like, hey, doctor, you'll just kill this monster,
yeah.
And then you'll come to my wedding in a couple hours. And the doctor was like, okay, cool. And then she's like, we'll start the wedding real quick. And then the monster kills the other doctor, and then he's roaming around. But they're like, oh, it's time to get married. But the fiance, the bride, I guess, at this point, she's not his sister, by the way, or his cousin.
Okay.
I think she's just a lady.
Well, why is he even attracted to her?
Unknown, not explained. She's like, oh, something's wrong. I think this monster's loose, and she has no idea.
Yeah.
Right? What does she know?
She's a telepath.
He's like, all right, we'll wait for the doctor to come here,
yeah,
and then we'll get married. Then he'll tell
we'll
you
wait
to
for
go.
Him to come here with the monster's severed head.
Exactly. The monster looks scary, too, Tom. He's got a flat top head.
Yeah.
And bolts in his neck. So anyway, the monster's roaming the countryside, and he... Then you see this farmer guy and a little girl, and he's like, and the little girl's like, "Won't you play with me, Daddy?" And he's like, "That's enough playing for today. I have to go to town for something." I don't know.
Yeah.
And so like it's
sell
like
some
this
grain.
It's like this 7-year-old girl or something, and he's like, "All right," and she's like, "Oh," and like it's a very loving father daughter thing. He's like, "I'll see you later when I come back," and then he kisses her on the mouth. Which, if it was a real father-daughter thing, whatever, but it's like...
But those are two actors.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I got the role. I kiss a seven-year-old girl on the mouth.
Yeah, somebody, a stranger.
Yeah. So anyway, she's playing by herself. She's throwing flowers in the lake.
Yes, I like to do that.
And watching
them
float. Mm-hmm. And Frankenstein, the monster, comes up, and she gets it. Get this, she's not even scared of him. She's like, "Hey, you want to play?"
Because she has a pure heart.
Yeah, and she gives him some flowers, and they're throwing them in, and he watches them float, and they're going back and forth. And he runs out of flowers, so he picks up the little girl and throws her in the lake, thinking she's gonna float. She drowns, and there's
no.
a whole thing. They had to cut that part out.
Yeah,
like
again,
until
like dark.
1988. But there's this whole thing about how they had to do like 100 takes or like many takes before they got the one they needed. And this little girl couldn't swim. And the take that they used, you can't even see her. They're like, they finally got the perfect take that is a classic take.
Her out of
like,
frame.
Yeah, like the Frankenstein's blocking her. I don't understand. But the director promised her any snack she wanted. If she would do more takes of drowning.
Well,
but
did he preface it with, let me be clear, these are 1930s snacks.
Yeah, I think she was well aware of that because what she wanted was 12 hard-boiled eggs. Her favorite snack.
That's disgusting to eat all at once.
Yeah, but guess what he gave her? 24 hard-boiled eggs because she did such a good job.
Wow.
So anyway, the
and all she had to do was kiss a strange old man on the mouth and drown a bunch of times. And 24 hard-boiled eggs were hers.
So the Frankensteins are really rich, the family, right? So the Baron comes out and he's like, "Hello, peasants. I'm gonna give you beer," and they're all cheering for beer. He's like, "And we're celebrating my son's wedding." And just as they're all celebrating and everything, there's dancing in the streets and stuff. Mm-hmm. The farmer guy is carrying the corpse of his daughter.
He's like, not in a mood to celebrate.
Yeah. He's like, "There's been a murder." And I forget who they think it is. I don't know. Whatever. Then Frankenstein comes and tries to murder, the monster tries to come and murder the doctor and his wife.
Yeah.
Or his fiance, whatever, the bride. But... You know, and he gets away, and then everybody figures out, oh, this monster probably killed that little girl.
Mm.
And then all the townspeople go after him with torches because he's afraid of fire. And then the one thing is they bring these dogs with them.
Mm-hmm.
Last 10 minutes of this movie is nothing but dogs howling so loud. It's like, we get it. There are dogs there. Can we put the dogs a little quieter in the mix, guys? I understand.
The dogs don't like Frankenstein.
Yeah. They go into this like old mill or something because there's a windmill, yeah. And Dr. Frankenstein chases them in there. And it's just the two of them, and the door gets locked. And then Frankenstein like beats the hell out of him and throws him off the balcony. And he hits the windmill and then falls to the ground. And then everybody's like, "Bring this doctor back to the town," or whatever. And you think he's dead. And then they burn Frankenstein alive in this windmill. And he's just running around screaming and shrieking. It's horrible, Tom. He's just like, it's just like a guy like, and like, it's like a 4-minute scene of him just like, right, he's
burning.
Terrified of fire.
Yeah.
He's getting burned. He's burned to death. So they burn him to death. And then at the end, you see the doctor, Frankenstein, he's recovering, but they couldn't get the actor back. The actor he left Hollywood or something and went to like, and they were like, "Oh, we had to end it not with ambiguous whether or not the doctor died." So he's out of focus in the corner in a bed. And then his dad, the Baron, this asshole who was really mean to the Burgomeister for some reason. There's all these servants there. And he drinks wine in front of them, but he doesn't give them any. And he's like, "To my son, let's enjoy this wine." Well, you guys wouldn't appreciate it. I'll drink it. And it's just him drinking wine, and then the movie ends.
And he's cheersing his son who created a monster that killed a little girl.
Yeah. I think what this was, this is probably like, this is like Depression era, right?
Yeah.
Maybe this is like trying to get people to turn against the rich.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's like a big, it's not dwelled upon in the book. Well, it's not dwelled upon, I think, because like Mary Shelley was like idol rich.
She was like a wee little girl when she wrote it.
Well, she was like, I think, 18 when she wrote it.
Yeah, but like, that's more than I ever did.
Oh, yeah, but she was still like, you know, had a life of leisure in front of her. Like, she was very rich.
Right.
So I think she wrote a character that she could like identify with, but didn't realize like, oh, this guy's just like a real asshole. Like, he's just always having nervous fits. And like, he doesn't have a job. He just like tinkers around with like old shit he found from the slaughterhouse all day.
Yeah. Like, and he feels like he's like, hey, don't bother me. I'm doing my experiments.
Yeah. I mean, there's like,
I get to do what I want. Do you know who I am? Do you know who my daddy is?
Yeah. You know, this is the kind of kid that's, burning ants with a magnifying glass a few years before. And now he's like, I'm going to make life.
He wants to be God.
They're all real jerks. And like Mary Shelley was criticized. Mary Shelley was criticized for something I noticed in the book, which is the captain, Victor Frankenstein, and the monster Frankenstein all speak the same way. It's very confusing to read. This Frankenstein's so articulate. He reads Paradise Lost while he's out in the woods watching his family. Yeah.
Wow.
And he really identifies with Satan.
Does he?
Yeah. Wow. He's like, Satan's not such a bad guy. Yeah. He's like, he did what he had to. I'll do what I have to.
Do you think Satan's an incel? Do you think this whole thing is just like, man, if I could just get laid, I'd extinguish all these fires.
I mean, and Dr. Frankenstein just needed to either keep his promise to Frankenstein or kill Frankenstein. He always talks about how he's like, if Frankenstein comes, boy, I'm going to beat the hell out of him. But it's like, no, you're not. Yeah. Frankenstein's 8 feet tall, and you've never even fought him. Yeah. And everybody Frankenstein's fought, I mean, granted, they're either like women or, like a 16-year-old sickly boy. He's very easily strangled to death.
Yeah. Well, I think both the monster and the man, Frankenstein, a couple of jerks.
I would argue Dr. Frankenstein's the real monster.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com.
You can also support the show by going to tcgte.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping and tcgte.com/pledge for our Patreon, where you can get weekly bonus episodes of things like Fast Food Friday and Justice League Minute. Yeah. And you look marvelous. Yeah. All kinds of different shows. And you get the whole back catalog when you sign up, too. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Complete Guide. Follow us on Twitter @Complete Guide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Follow me on those things @YourPalTim.
And how about leaving us an iTunes review if you got a minute?
Yeah.
We haven't asked for that in a while.
Yeah. And
not to be this month,
we're doing our research for Halloween month.
Yeah. Not to be all, unappreciative Dr. Frankenstein's about this. Mm. But yeah, why not?
Rate and review.
Yeah.
Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like better? The Frankenstein from the book?
Mm-hmm.
The Frankenstein from the movie? Or Herman Munster?
I mean, of course, Herman Munster.
Yeah. He's a Frankenstein.
He is. Yeah, he's a Frankenstein. He's not the Frankenstein. But I mean, it was super interesting to read this book. It's considered the first science fiction book by a lot of people.
Is it good?
It is good. Like,
yeah, right.
No, it is.
Sounded bad to me. The way that you talked about
it. No, the thing was, like, the fact that I was so mad at these characters tells you that they're realistically portrayed. Like, I wasn't mad that, like, this is written poorly. Like, the characters were so fleshed out that I was like, no, this sounds like a real asshole. Like, I know people like this.
Yeah.
I know people like Frankenstein's monster. So, yeah, I mean,
it isn't me, Tom.
Like
am
I said,
I the most like Frankenstein's monster.
There were, so I don't know, do you go around, do you follow people around killing them unless they make you a bride?
Mm.
Actually, And he doesn't even say bride. He's like, I just want a woman. Just make a woman who's real ugly like me so nobody will take her. And then she'll be mine. And like Dr. Frankenstein's thinking, he's like, you know, when he's trying to make her, he's like, yeah, what if I make this woman and she takes one gander at Frankenstein the monster and it's like, ooh, woof. You know, and why would she?
He's got a lot of problems on his hands.
Yeah.
And there'd be some human man that would be like, but you know what? I like her.
I like her. Yeah, she's 8 feet tall. I'm into it.
Weird.
And weird. But still, Dr. Frankenstein should have been up front or should have made a harder effort to kill the monster. And also shouldn't have lost track of the monster in the first goddamn place.
Or maybe this can serve as a cautionary tale. All you people out there, don't make monsters.
Don't make monsters.
That's as simple as that.
And if you do make a monster, don't run out of your house as soon as it comes to life and then have a nervous fit when you come back and it's gone. And then when it starts killing like everybody you love, be like, oh, man, it's a real shame. I don't know who did that.
It's a great life lesson. We'll see you next week for more of Halloween month. Next week's going to be a good one, too. It's a stunt episode, Tom.
Yeah, live on location.
Kind of, a little bit.
Well, it's not live, but it was on location.
Yeah, I mean, we were on location for it. We'll talk more about it next week.
Check it out.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.